What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dinwiddie driving left, on the run, banked it, that's too hard. Gafford follows it up and dunks it home for a career-high 29 points.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I want everyone to play along with an exercise with me right now. 877-881-1053, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Text in right now what you think Mike is unusually angry about in the break. I don't think there's any way anybody will get it, but I would love to see these guesses. Now, believe it or not, it was not about the Mavs, though we had plenty to be upset about in that game last night. The Mavericks lose to the woeful Hornets. I almost said Thunder. They're not woeful at all. And unfortunately, your schedule from here is the best of the best.
Just forfeit.
Because you get Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Boston. Now, I realize the argument is going to be you just beat Oklahoma City. I get that.
You just took them down, dude.
All right. And maybe
you're good against the good teams. It's the bad teams that you struggle against.
And maybe you're right. But this feels like at the end of the week, you will be saying 23-23. Dallas Mavericks. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like when you look at just the really difficult schedule ahead.
I get that they're trying their best with what they have on the court, but and somehow you did beat Oklahoma City, but in between those, you lost to New Orleans and Charlotte. At this point, you have to win those games.
Didn't Shea not play in that game?
Yeah, Shea didn't
play.
So, I mean, they kind of thought, we can beat these with our Nimrods, too. And they didn't. So... Now you're probably going to get your butt handed to you tonight at home, so good luck going to that game, Mavs fans. Then you lose. Washington's a 50-50 coin flip at this point, and then you play New Orleans. I mean, to be honest, you have to beat Washington and New Orleans. Detroit's not that bad anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, then you go on a stretch on the road where you go at Detroit, okay, winnable, then at Cleveland, L, Philadelphia, I don't know who's playing in that game, and at Boston, you'll lose by 40. So I
just like the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know like what we're gonna do here. And you're still a few games away from getting to the All-Star break where you're hoping that Luka's recovered from his calf injury. And at this point too, yesterday, you'd have won by 10 points if Lively could have played, right?
Yeah.
With the domination of Gafford. Because yesterday Maxi Kleber had to play the backup center role and he got 0 points and 2 rebounds.
Because Gafford was freaking spectacular. That was a career high, I believe, on the 31 points to go along with 15 rebounds. Amazing effort.
I was watching pretty closely yesterday. When Gafford was out of the game in the fourth quarter, he needed some rest. Charlotte went on a nice run where they took the lead, and there was nothing the Mavs could do because they didn't have Lively to have that center combination. So, yes, Luka means so much to this team. But in this situation, you know, he's 20 years old. I just like, dude, can you just stay healthy for two straight weeks in your career at this point, you know?
Okay, with that in mind, I was kind of curious because the Dallas Morning News has got it broken down by, you know, player for player. And I think this article actually came out on Thursday. So we're a few days into it, and there are a lot of really high grades in this that I don't really particularly agree with, but what kind of overall grade would you give to the Mavericks knowing that injuries has crushed them? And I'm not saying they haven't been trying or anything like that, but here's like one of the things that I sometimes struggle figuring out. For example, in this piece, Derek Lively gets a B+, Kyrie gets an A, and Luka gets an A-. Like, I think that discounts the fact that whether it's your fault or not, if you're not out there for some games, like, that factors into your grade, or it probably, I think it should.
Unless you have a qualifier that says only what they did while they were playing. Like, if you have that qualifier.
Yes.
Otherwise, yeah, I mean, missing from that puts them in B categories. When they were playing, they were that good, but the missing part of it puts them in a bad situation as a team overall.
How in the world could you give Luka an A for this year? Let's just take out the real injury that he got, the calf injury. That was real on Christmas Day. We're noticing that we don't even know if he's going to play the rest of the year. I think he will, but that's where we're at with Luka. At 5-7 to start the year, that was one of the most disinterested players I have seen.
You do not think he was hurt. You thought
he wasn't hurt at all. I mean, he was like a little hurt, but like he was fine. It was, dude, you're not like, we're in a tight game here at Utah. You have your head so far up your rear end, it looks like it is coming back up out of your neck. That's how far he had his head up his butt on defense for the whole game, and it cost you at the end. And it was like, dude, we are losing left and right. We get there's a lot of season, and it's not the NBA Finals, and you're not in Slovenia anymore, and all these things. But, dude, we are 12 games into this season, and you have not barely engaged at all, and they gave him a week off, and the team played well without him, and he came back and had a great attitude. It was awesome. And the Mavericks were off because their leader of the team decided he was going to play basketball this year. So that being said, good for you after they went on a nice winning streak and you came back. But I can't give you close to an A for not showing up for the first 12 games of the year, then having to need about four games off to get your mind right, and then playing really good basketball, and then a month later you blow out your calf. That's not an A grade. That's disgusting to me that somebody would give him an A grade for this year. I'd give him at best a B-, best, because I'd say, hey, the stretch when he came back from his, I think, kind of hiatus because they needed him to mentally engage in this season, he was great. But 12 games, you were pathetic. Then you had to sit out four games to get your mind right. There's no way I can give you an A for that.
There are high grades across the board. Spencer Dinwiddie gets a B-. Daniel Gafford gets a B. Now, I will say,
I'd give Spencer Dinwiddie three letters, PSI. That guy sees how much air there is in the ball at all times.
He likes to dribble a lot,
right? He is perfect at, if you ever needed to check Tom Brady's balls, footballs is what I'm talking about, he would have been the guy. He wouldn't even need to stick the needle in the ball. He'd have been like, I know, just let me bounce it 74 times.
Daniel Gafford gets a B, Quentin Grimes B+, Jaden Hardy C+, Kyrie, like I said, he got an A, Maxi Kleba C-, Derek Lively B+, Najee Marshall B, Klay Thompson B, which that is a little surprising, and PJ Washington gets an A, and Jason Kidd gets a B.
Those are pretty.
What was the lowest grade?
Those are lowest pretty grade lenient. Was Maxi at a C-.
Those are pretty lenient grades.
Exactly, and so it's tough because you're three games above 500. When this article came up, you were three games above 500. I just feel like it totally discounts injuries or missing time from the team as being relevant whatsoever. I'm not saying it's the player's fault, but you have to impact it on the grade, I think.
I do wonder at the end of the season if they'll look back and say to themselves that did cost us and where it cost them. Like, what is it going to cost them? Positioning in the playoffs is the most likely thing.
Yes.
I don't know that it's going to cost them a position spot, But positioning, for sure.
Yeah.
And they haven't quite, like Dirk in his era, we have to be the number one overall seed. Like, we just have to have it in order for us to be successful. That's what we're going to need is home court. And it just seems like the Luka group doesn't think that way. And they're just like, we just show up wherever. We don't have to come out and win the number one spot in the regular season. We just want to be in the mix. That's what just the feeling I get out of this, because they don't put that urgency or importance on that.
Now for the
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think, Corey, at the end of this week, they'll be out of the whole playoffs. Yeah. They won't even be in the play. And they're a game and a half out of the 11 seed. So if they lose these three games, likely Golden State will pop back into like the 9-10 spot. And the Mavericks will be out of the playoffs completely. And I'm with you. I think they'll end up making the playoffs, like the play-in, and hopefully win a play-in game and get into the real playoffs. But I do think, because of injuries, I want to make this clear, I really do like this team when they're completely healthy, and think only the Thunder are, in my mind, better than them in the conference. But at this point, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know when, if Luka doesn't play until March, I don't know if they can make it.
Now, there's a lot of guesses about why Mike was irritated in the commercial break. From the 214, the weather. From a different 214, Kirby Yates to the Dodgers. From the 817, because they didn't rename the Indian Ocean to the Guardian Ocean. From the 469, the donut shop across the street ran out of sprinkles. From the 817, Mike is usually upset about his wife putting her cold hands on his back every morning. Is he still mad about
that? How does that guy know that?
I don't know that.
Who is that guy?
Probably he's been listening for a while. He's been listening for a while.
He knows my wife too well.
From the 817.
Did she have cold hands?
Is he mad about HEB? From the 214, that Jerry named himself as the coach. From the 903, is Mike upset about something random to do with the inauguration? All right.
I don't remember at this point.
I'll tell you. It is something random. But it was actually, and this is why it was unfair. On Good Morning Football, they're showing clips of the 1998 NFC Championship game where Gary Anderson, who I believe had not missed a field goal all year, he wasn't even mad that he missed a field goal. He was something to the effect of, oh yeah, good job with your stupid helmet. Why are you so upset about this?
Yeah, Nimrod missed it because of one bar. Hey guys, I can't, the bar's in my eye. You guys gave me two bars, I can't see. Hey, equipment guy, can I get a one bar helmet? Yeah, hey! Where's our helmets from 1964 that smell like trash? Just don't wear a helmet. Just go out there and be like, I don't need a helmet. I ain't going to try to tackle anybody if this thing gets blocked. I'm a Nimrod. Wear the effing thing backwards.
So
I want you to put on a helmet backwards next time, Gary Anderson, and it'll look the same way as that one bar crap.
He's done kicking.
So Gary Anderson had the no face mask, one bar helmet on.
I remember when I first saw that.
Guys,
I was like,
I can't see the ball on the ground. There's two bars here. It's all in my eyes. Well, the one bar didn't help you get to the Super Bowl, Gary. Get a helmet.
As he's reenacting right now, this is legitimately how upset he was about the 1998 NFC Championship game and the helmet that the kicker was wearing.
I think one day the kickers are going to have those shields like CeeDee Lamb. They're going to have the
God, I hope so.
I'm a one bar guy.
I'll
tell you what, you're a no helmet guy. Get out there. You're not getting a helmet. That's I was equipment manager. I'd be like, no. We're going to shave your head and paint it purple and throw those horns on there and just, that's your helmet. If you think that you just need one bar to be successful, screw you.
How long do you think it would take everyone to be like, hold on, I do not believe that player is wearing a helmet.
Very quickly.
I mean, just
think about this. How quickly do we go, that guy's wearing a Guardian cap.
And that's whoever true. The head coach is, they'd Witten. Say, interview the equipment guy. And that'd be me. And I'd be like, he didn't deserve one. Next question.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
He's a one bar guy.
Hey, in case you've ever wondered, is Mike the same off air as he is on the air? Yes. Yes, he is. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, and let's talk about some of these big time coaching decisions next on The Fan.